Jim McKenna shares a lament for the Irish famine victims and his relatives. Bugs Bunny gets chased by Witch Hazel in a song by Mark Gunn. It's Pub Songs and Stories show number 242. Welcome to Pub Songs and Stories. This is the virtual public house for musicians to share the stories and inspiration behind their music with your host, Mark Gunn. Subscribe to the podcast at pubsong.com. Greetings, my friends. Pompey is here to say hi and good morning. He wants to be with me. It is an early morning. My voice is still hoarse, haven't quite woken up, but I wanted to get this out, and I'm running behind on releasing it earlier. I should have done it earlier in the week, and I don't know how things got away from me, but they did. So what are you going to do, you know? So today's show is brought to you by my Gunrunners on Patreon. You get MP3s of my songs that I play in this show, and of course, I have lots of other exclusive podcasts and blogs that I share there. Special thanks and welcome to our newest Gunrunner, George Mears. There's also a new In the Verse podcast that is coming very soon, I think next Saturday. It also has a new song that I wrote inspired by the Doctor Who episode Blink, and I love this song. I hope you do too. The podcast will be released to patrons this Wednesday. The single will be released as well just for patrons, but it's gotta get it and figure out when. I'm debating whether I want to release it as is, you know, just me and the auto harp, or if I will, you know, add some production to it and hire some musicians to get that done. I'm tempted to do that, so we'll see. But that is one of the benefits of joining the Gunrunners Club. You get to hear this song and get it before other people. So, in fact, I don't know when it'll come out on a CD, so this will be the one way that it'll be available for quite a while. Genetic Counseling Awareness Day is coming up in November. My wife and I wrote a song for the holiday. She is a genetic counselor. So I was hoping to release the single on streaming, but because it's on the next album, Selkuth, but I just ran out of time. It looks like I'm going to be promoting the video I made last year, and you can watch that in the show notes at pubsong.com for show number 242. And now this is really exciting. I did finally finish Selkuth. That is my next album, and it comes out next year. But everyone who funded the Kickstarter will receive their rewards in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The CDs were shipped to me on Saturday. They haven't arrived yet, but I saw the shipping form in my email this morning. And so it's on the way. And so stay tuned for that. Thank you again to everyone who helped kickstart that album. I really appreciate it. And finally, well, almost finally, before we do the upcoming shows and we get to the stories, what are you doing while listening to Pub Songs and Stories? I'd love your thoughts and feedback. Take a picture of yourself or where you are or one of the stories that these stories remind you of, and then post it on social media. Use the hashtag PubStories so I can find it and hopefully share your story. I would really love some feedback, but I want to do it differently. I want you to post it publicly. Use that hashtag PubStories because it'll just help me better organize stuff. You know, I get a lot of emails. People say, I love your podcast. And I'm like, which one? And now that I have sort of integrated this a little bit more with the Irish and Celtic Music podcast, it would help if you actually used that hashtag PubStories and just shared it. Then I know you're listening to this podcast. Finally, upcoming shows this Saturday, I guess it is The Lost Druid in Avondale Estates, Georgia. Next Wednesday, November 3rd, is the next Coffee with the Kilt Father show. That is at 11 a.m. And yes, that is on a Wednesday. Wednesday, November 3rd. Starting in November, Coffee with the Kilt Father will be on Wednesdays. And I just realized I forgot to include 28th, which is this week's show, which is the Halloween show that I'm going to put out. So hope you can join me for those. And finally, my next convention is Conjuration here in Atlanta, Georgia. All right, it is time for a story of a famine victim. Jim McKenna is a Boston piper and composer. Members of his family immigrated to Boston during the Irish famine. Daniel and his brother Neil were two of the 6 founding members of the American Society of Hibernians, later merging with the Ancient Order of Hibernians in Boston on March 17, 1857. This organization was formed for the purpose of rendering assistance to the sick and disabled members of their society and also of providing for the decent burial of the dead. Jim's great-great-uncle from Drumcarran, Ireland, Thomas McPartlin, performed traditional music on the banjo in Boston during the late 1800s. In November 2017, Jim's performance of his composition, Lament for Bridget O'Donnell, a Victim of Famine, was included in the soundtrack of the Kilkenny Famine Experience Memorial Audiovisual Tour. He sent another lament, Lament for the Forgotten Irish of Catholic Mount Auburn Cemetery. And I'm going to share his story and that tune right now.
A few months ago, I had composed a lament about a little-known cemetery just outside of Boston called Catholic Mount Auburn Cemetery, not to be confused with Mount Auburn Cemetery. When I was a child, my father used to take our family to visit his maternal grandparents at Catholic Mount Auburn. They were the only relatives that my father knew who were buried at that cemetery. I noticed that many of the names on the headstones were Irish, and the date of deaths were during the mid to late 1800s. I had assumed they were Irish immigrants who came to Boston during the Irish famine. Little did I know, some of those Irish immigrants were my relatives. Presently, I know of 34 relatives buried there. 12 were under the age of 6, 8 of whom were 1 year or younger. By the end of 1865, 99.5% of the lots were sold, primarily to Irish immigrants. From 1854 to 1881, there were approximately 16,000 burials. 49% of them were children under the age of 6 years. The first of my relatives to be buried at this cemetery was John McKenna, who died of lung fever on September 26, 1859, at the age of 11 months. At that time, a family's first purchase of a burial lot was usually when a child died. The land for this cemetery was first purchased by an Irish undertaker, Patrick Denver, on February 13, 1854. The following day, Mr. Denver, for the same amount of money, conveyed that property to the Bishop of Boston. About 50 years later, the Archdiocese attempted to purchase an adjacent lot, but were denied by the Cambridge Board of Aldermen. Some of the residents along Brattle Street objected to the sight of funeral processions, which they found to be obnoxious. Quoting from the Cambridge Sentinel, November 30, 1907, this objection merely displayed the sham culture of the Brattle Street element. The adjacent lot, known as the Coolidge Estate, was purchased eventually by Mount Auburn Cemetery, not Catholic Mount Auburn. Ironically, approximately 70 years after the denial to the Archdiocese of Boston, and literally just a few yards from my immigrant relatives, my uncle and great aunt were buried on the adjacent lot, the Coolidge Estate. The inspiration for this lament was from an online lecture by local historian Bill McAvoy, which was sponsored by the Cambridge Public Library this past April. I was notified by email of this lecture by my cousin, Natalie Wodzinski. If it wasn't for Bill's lecture and Natalie's email, this lament may have never been composed. In addition, Bill had notified me of relatives buried at Catholic Mount Auburn that my family never knew about. Literally, they were forgotten to history. Finally, I'd like to thank my father and cousins Helen Ruffing and Natalie Wodzinski for their extensive research of our family.
I hope you enjoyed that track. You can find Jim McKenna over on SoundCloud. You'll need to follow the link in the show notes for show number 242 because it is a SoundCloud link. But go check that out. He has a bunch of free music that he shares over there. Support what you love. If this show makes you happy, then join the Gunrunners Club on Patreon. Your support pays for the production and promotion of my music and this podcast. And if you have questions or comments, drop me an email. And you can, of course, you can save 15% with an annual membership. On the next episode of this podcast, it's scheduled to come out on November 9th. And that's because next week I will record my monthly update for Celt Father Music and Travel. And you definitely want to stick around because I'm going to tell you the story of my recording of Mingalay Boat Song, which has some fun little twists and turns in it. But also, I'm really excited to share a story by Vicky Swan and Johnny Dyer about one of their songs that's going to make you want to dance. But that's next time. Meantime, the story of Bugs Bunny and Halloween. So I love Bugs Bunny growing up. Who didn't? These shows was packed with just incredible comedy that was pretty appealing to most people. A little slapstick, a little satirical, a lot of classic fun. Back in 2006, Halloween was approaching, and Charlie Brown, you know, he had the Great Pumpkin, but he never found it near as much fun as Bugs Bunny and Witch Hazel. Yeah, it didn't become that annual thing for me, but I just love that little series. And so I decided to write a song. The original story starts with Witch Hazel brewing a potion for Halloween, and as she collects the ingredients, she stops to ask her magic mirror, who is the ugliest one of all? The genie declares it is Witch Hazel. Then the doorbell rings. Bugs Bunny is out trick-or-treating, dressed as a witch. Witch Hazel worries that she's not as ugly as Bugs Bunny Witch. Her mirror confirms that Bugs is uglier, so Witch Hazel invites Bugs in to drink tea under the pretense to learn all of Bugs's ugly secrets. The tea is actually a potion that'll turn Witch Bugs pretty. Bugs Bunny removes his mask to drink the tea, and Witch Hazel remembers a recipe that needs a rabbit's clavicle. And the chase begins. They race around the house until Witch Hazel finally catches Bugs Bunny. Now, once she catches him, she ties him up and sharpens her knife, but Bugs looks at her with those big, pathetic eyes, and Witch Hazel breaks down in tears. She says that Bugs reminds her of Paul, her pet tarantula. Still tied up in a rope, Bug hops over to bring Witch Hazel some comforting tea. The same tea that is actually a beauty potion. Witch Hazel turns into a knockout redhead. She asks the genie in the magic mirror who is the ugliest, and the genie boards his magic carpet and chases after Witch Hazel into the night sky. Okay, so as I thought about this episode, definitely there's a lot of dated references, you know, whether it's, you know, the catcalling of the pretty Witch Hazel and the man chasing him. Yeah, okay, maybe not the best references for the 21st century, but it's still a delightful episode that I still enjoy. Now, my story, of course, isn't very much different from the original. In fact, it's basically a retelling of the story in a poetical song form. And I'll be honest, I love the rhythm and music of the song. It's fun. But if I were writing it today, I probably would have done it quite a bit differently. I'm not sure exactly how I would change it. But when I was writing songs back in 2006, a lot of times I would let things slip. I would, you know, I left it in that poetical form because it was pretty, you know, your spellcasting Tao. I don't know if that's a thing, but I used it nevertheless. So again, I'm not sure how I would change it, but I probably would. It would get a serious editing to it. And plus, you know, it's just a basic retelling. Personally, these days, I don't want to retell the same story necessarily. Now, maybe telling a story about either, okay, things comes to jump into my mind, you know, Witch Hazel's pet tarantula, or the vanity of wanting to be beautiful, or, you know, Bugs Bunny's perspective of being turned into a potion. I don't know. There's many ways I probably could have gone about it, and I probably would have, but I'm not going to at this point in time. It's old news, and the song is done. I'm not one of those people who wants to go about changing songs after they're done, especially once they're on a CD, because this is on my CD, What Color Is Your Dragon? But I'd love to know what you think about it. This is A Rabbit for Halloween. Thank you so much for listening to the stories. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you later. Sláinte. She was someone's daughter once, and so a beautiful thing. Her crooked nose and greenish skin, they don't bother me. If she'd stop trying to kill me, I wouldn't care one bit. that she was a witch with a tiny hitch, which was spellcasting itch. Now I'm running through the halls and I'm running through the rooms. I run into a closet and I climb upon a broom. I fly up in the sky across the yellow moon. But the witch's eye with lustful gleam wants a rabbit for Halloween. She opened up her door and saw I was one ugly witch. But it's Halloween and I trick-or-treat and my witch mask is rich. But her magic mirror on the wall said she's uglier than thou. And now I find sweat on my brow from her spell-casting dowel. Now I'm running through the halls and I'm running through the rooms. I run into a closet and I climb upon a broom. I fly up in the sky across the yellow moon. But the witch's eye with lustful gleam wants a rabbit for Halloween. Know that I'm a rabbit and you are just a witch. I know your mama loved you once, so I accept the glitch. But once you drink that potion, your genie on the wall, enthralled will whistle his cat call and chase you down the hall. Then you're running through the halls and you're running through the rooms. You run into a closet and you climb upon your broom. You fly up in the sky across the yellow moon. But the genie's eye with lustful gleam wants you for Halloween. Yes, you're running through the halls and you're running through the rooms. You run into a closet and you climb upon your broom. You fly up in the sky across the yellow moon. But the genie's eye with lustful gleam wants you for Halloween. Pup Songs Podcast is produced by Mark Gunn. The show is edited by Mitchell Peterson with graphics by Miranda Nelson Designs. You can subscribe and listen wherever you find podcasts. You can also subscribe to my mailing list. You will get regular updates of new music, podcasts, special offers, and you'll get 21 songs for free. Welcome to the pub at pubsong.com.